Good morning. I'm feeling in a silly kind of mood here. When just now we were talking about God loves a cheerful giver, I thought, well, here at our church, we'll even take money from grumpy ones. So feel free to give no matter what your heart attitude is, okay? We're about to go into we're beginning today a series of messages about the patriarchs. And some of you, if you're not initiated to what the term means, patriarch literally means the father of a family. But biblically, we talk about them as the father of the whole Jewish race and the beginning of the blessing of God upon a nation that he raised up. And we're going to be looking at the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And I think you're going to be encouraged by these people, because one of the things to keep in mind is that they weren't perfect men. They were men who God used and God worked through their lives, and they came through struggles and shortcomings and difficulties to the place of blessing upon their lives. And I think that's why it's encouraging, because God uses imperfect people for his perfect plans. And one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is to please consider reading ahead every week about who we're going to be talking about. And so if you'll take today's bulletin, there's a scary amount of notes today for my wife leaned over. She says, are you doing all of this? And I know it looks long, but it's just well spaced out, so you have plenty of room to write. But I'd like you to jot down the scriptures to read this week, if you would consider doing this. This coming week, please consider reading Genesis 15, 16, and 17, the three chapters, 15, 16, and 17, as well as chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. And finally, Genesis 21, 1 through 7. I'll say that all again, okay? So, Genesis chapters 15, 16, 17, 18, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. It will give you the context of what we're going to be sharing next Sunday. I'm going to continue in the life of Abraham about believing God in the face of the impossible. But today we're going to begin. I want to just tell you, when I reference Abraham today, sometimes I may say Abram, sometimes I may say Abraham, because his name was originally Abram. And then at one point, God said, because of the growth that we're having together, the experience we're having together, the commitment I'm making to you, from this point forward, I'm going to call you Abraham. But because it becomes interchangeable to us, to me. And so please don't get confused if you say, I thought we were talking about Abram, now you're saying Abraham, or vice versa. It's the same, okay? All right. So let's begin today. I just want us to think for a moment about something that's called oxymorons. Do you know what an oxymoron is? An oxymoron is words that we put together that seemingly should not be put together. And here's some that I have discovered. I recently read in the newspaper that somebody was found missing. And I thought, well, it's one or the other. You know, he's either missing or he's found, but I don't know how you can be found missing. Another one that I read recently, and this is in the newspaper all the time, is government organization. I just don't think that's absolutely accurate. Another one I like is, we had this is in Oregon, this came up a few years ago, it's now part of us, but it's marijuana initiative. People who use marijuana don't have initiative very often, and so we have a marijuana initiative here in Oregon. We're coming up on this again. It seems like we're never out of this cycle, but we have campaign promises, which don't seem to go together. And I just have two more. I actually could go on and on, but temporary tax increase is a phrase that I just don't believe in. And then the last one is this, partial obedience. And that, of course, takes us to where we're going today. The words partial and obedience don't mesh together, because they actually conflict against one another. And it might be that you are in a place in your life where you say, you know, I have had a vision or a purpose that I feel is God-given. I have goals or directions I think God wants me to go in my life, and for some reason there is a frustration because I can't seem to cross the line. I can't seem to get to that point. There's something holding me back. And it could be today, and I'm hopeful that today, if this is true, and it's actually been true in probably all of our lives, that if we can somehow get past this issue of partial obedience, I think you'll see that there's a breakthrough for your life around the corner. A breakthrough for all of us, a breakthrough for the work of God, the things that God wants to do in this church, that when we come out of partial obedience into full obedience, good things happen. You may have longed for a life of miracles and of the blessing of God, and you want to experience something that God has placed in your heart. Today, I believe God's going to release a real key in your life. There will always be challenges to faith. And when we talk about Abraham, our minds immediately go to faith. We think Abraham is a great man of faith. But there are challenges that come into our lives when we're trying to move out in faith. And some of those things come from outside forces, things that are not from us. We don't bring them on ourselves. They're just there. We come into situations that are difficult, or we deal with people who are working in opposition to what we're trying to do. Or there could be spiritual resistance that the enemy himself, Satan himself or his demons, are working against that purpose in our lives. And these forces are outside ourselves, and faith is needed to be able to push through those circumstances. But sometimes our problems come from our inner selves. We create things with our decisions or what we're doing. We have inner wars within ourselves, or personal decisions or choices that we make, or actions that we are a part of, frustrate the things that God wants to do in us. And sometimes those decisions have great personal cost to us. And you may say, well, then all is lost for me because I have done that. I've made some bad choices. I've involved myself in some bad relationships, or I've gone astray from the path I knew God had for me. It's all lost. And I want you to know that you can get back on track. And the momentum that you feel is gone can be regained. Because God is not the God of a second chance. He's the God of a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. How many chances it takes us, he will get us back on track as we respond to him. We're going to be learning life lessons from the patriarchs, from Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. But today, we're going to look at the life of Abraham. He's the OG when it comes to the patriarchs. He's the beginning point. So we're going to look at his life today. And this message today is titled, Don't Settle. Okay? Don't settle. You can see from Hebrews, and it's kind of a New Testament look at Abraham, the outcome of Abraham's life. And if you'll just look at the screen with me, or you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, you'll see what it says about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And if you don't read the account from Genesis, it sounds here in Hebrews like he just did it. It was just no problem. It was just kind of like he went from beginning point to ending point. Everything went great. But if we look at the account in Genesis where it gives us more of the details, we'll see that there were actually some struggles. And if you turn to your Bible to Genesis chapter 12, and this is not going to be on the screen because it was kind of a lengthy section. Genesis chapter 12, we're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read 5 verses. And here it's going to refer to him as Abram. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment, and if you underline in your Bible, please do so here, where it says, the Lord had said to Abraham, or to Abram. The Lord had said. So this is saying that this was a conversation that had taken place in the past, okay? The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So, pause for a moment. The Lord had said to Abraham, do this and I will bless you. I'm going to bless you, your family, people who are yet to come. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. What an amazing direction for him to take. Now, look at verse number 4. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now, God gave Abram a multifaceted command. You can jot these three things down as what came to him in this command. The first one was one to leave. He said to him, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Now, those are actually going to be key parts of my message today, so please make note of that. He said to him, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. The second part of this command, the second facet of this command, was to go. If you're going to leave, you're not just going to be nowhere. You're going to go somewhere. He said, go to a better place that I have for you. I'm taking you to a land that I'm going to make yours. Thirdly, he said, I want you to become something. He says, you're going to become the father of a great nation. You're going to become a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. All the people of the world are going to be blessed through you. Those three words, leave, go, become. Now, the walk of faith for you and I has those same elements in it. We are no different than Abraham. When God speaks into our life and gives us direction and purpose for our life, one of the things he would say to us is leave. You're going to leave where you're at. Leave what has made you comfortable. Leave what you know to this point, because something else is around the corner and you're going to go forward. So you're going to leave like Abraham left. You're going to go into what God has. You're going to move into a new thing that I'm going to show you. You're going to move into a new level of spiritual productivity and usefulness in the kingdom. You're going to move into a new level of joy. You're also going to move into some challenges you've never had before. The walk of faith is to leave what was behind and to go what is in the future. And just like Abraham, you're going to become something. You're going to become a new person. You're going to become a greater blessing. You're going to become more influential in people's lives. You're going to become something through the Holy Spirit. So what Abraham experienced is the pattern for us as well, to leave, to go, to become. Now, how did Abraham respond to God's directives? If you just read it in Hebrews, you kind of think, well, it all just happened. But as we look at the record of that journey, we'll see that there was actually a lot of things in between that Abraham dealt with. It's important, as I said a moment ago, to know that heroes of our faith are not necessarily perfect. They were perfected. There's a big difference. We think when somebody's perfect, they just started out that way. But when we are perfected, we are going through steps in our lives. Sometimes we're taking sidesteps, misdirections, making mistakes. And we're being perfected as we go because God is patient with us and he's bringing us to that. So some things about Abram that I think are important for us to see. Number one, I believe he delayed. He delayed. Go back to Genesis 12:1. I told you to watch it. It's going to be on the screen now. It says, the Lord had said, past tense, had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Where and when did that call originate? We'll see this if you go back to chapter 11. Sometimes we have to get the context. Remember, there was no chapters in Genesis. It was written as one narrative. So we look at chapter 12, verse 1, but if the original reader would also look at the end of chapter 11, and we would see this. Abraham's father's name was Terah. And there it says this, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Abraham is originally from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. I have a map for you. I want to look at it with you because it's helpful. Ur is the yellow portion on the far right of the map. That's a long ways from Canaan, especially because they would not ever cut straight across to the west. It wasn't a good journey. They had to make that trip up north. It's today in southern Iraq, a place you actually hear of in the news, a place called Basra. And this is where Terah's family was from. This is where Abraham was born. Now, it came time for them. I believe Abraham was heard from God when he lived in Ur, because it says that his father and everybody in the household left to go to Canaan. Does it say that that his father heard a message from God to go to Canaan? It says that Abraham was called by God to go to Canaan. So the entire clan is moving their way toward Canaan. They get to Haran, which is in today southeastern Turkey, and that's the pink portion you see on the map. This is a place today. It's a modern city called Şanlıurfa, and Şanlıurfa is a city of 2 million plus today. It's a big place in southern Turkey, and it's one of the three cities that was recently almost completely destroyed in an earthquake in February. So this is where, up in Haran, is where Terah and Abraham and all the extended family settled there. They stayed there. The name Terah, his father, it means delay. Literally, his name means delay. I believe that Abraham was called by God to go to Canaan. He took his whole family with him, his father and everybody. They got to Haran, and there they delayed. It became a stopping block, a stopping place, I believe, a roadblock for Abram on his way. The Bible says they settled there. Now, literally, of course, the word settled means they settled in. They established themselves there. But I also have, in my own mind, a thought that they settled for it, that this was okay, that this was a good stopping point. Well, just, you know what, Canaan's a long ways. Dad is really old. We've got a lot of baggage, personal baggage in our life, so let's settle for Haran. And so they settled there in that place, and there they gained tremendous wealth. Again, at Genesis chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible says, Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So don't know how many years they stayed in Haran, but he took with him his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and then they set out for the land of Canaan. It was only after Terah died. Kind of reminds me of when Jesus called somebody to become a disciple and to be a follower. One of the responses he received was, well, let me bury my dad first. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you just got to get with it. You can't wait around. So Abraham stayed this extra time up in Haran. Sometimes we find ourselves saying, you know, this far with God is good enough. This amount of where I've gone in this journey, this amount of obedience is enough. I've made enough progress, but it wasn't what God had called him to. He didn't say, Abraham, leave home and go to Haran. He said, go to Canaan, to a land that I've called you to. Secondly, we see from the scripture here that Abraham only partially obeyed the Lord. Verse number 4, Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Well, wait a minute. The command was, leave your family, leave everything, and go to Canaan. And he takes his nephew Lot with him. Instead of leaving as commanded, Abraham took Lot with him, and God said, leave your people. Whenever you bring something from your old life into the new that God has for you, you create a problem. And if you're a student of Genesis, you'll know something. Lot was a problem. He created multiple problems for Abraham. When they got into Canaan, because Abraham was already rich, he had tremendous amount of flocks and herds. Lot had a lot of flocks and herds, and there immediately began disputes between them about how to exist together. And then he says to Lot, says with a lot of, he was a very magnanimous person, he says, well, why don't you pick where you want to go? And what did Lot do? He picked the best and left Abraham with the leftovers. Another problem for Abraham. And then what happened? Lot goes to a city that's full of sinful, sinful people, a sodomy and everything was going on there. And multiple times, Abraham had to invest himself into rescuing Lot from the problems that he brought with him and the problems that he settled into. And eventually, at the very end, he's intercessing for Lot's life because God has to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot brought with him a lot of problems. Abraham, through his partial obedience of not leaving Lot in Haran where he should have stayed, but bringing him forward, brought conflict for him. It caused him trouble. The life of faith demands total separation from that which is not God's purpose in our lives. And when we are suffering with not meeting the best, not receiving all that God has for us, it's often because we have brought with us things from our past that were not to be brought into this new future with God. As you study the life of Abraham, you'll notice he was often tempted to compromise, and occasionally he yielded. We're going to see next week when it came to having a child and he wanted a son so badly that he was tempted to compromise. And it has brought problems to this day. And there were other times, you know, calling his wife his sister and different things, that there was temptations in his life to compromise. We all have temptations to compromise, to try to figure it out on God's behalf. Let me help you with this, Lord. You obviously need my input. The God will test us in order to make our faith stronger. The enemy will tempt us to destroy God's purposes in our lives. We want to go through tests with victory, and we want to reject temptations. Why would God call him to leave others behind? Because he knew it would impede his progress. He knew it would take away his focus. He knew it would cause detours. Now, the New Testament actually amplifies this principle for us in the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul instructs us there, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? We often kind of put this into one little area, and we say this is about marriage. We shouldn't marry somebody who's not a believer. Sure, it's about marriage, but it's about everything. It's about all the things that God has for us in our lives that we should be cautious not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Other translations of the scripture use these phrases: don't team up with. Another says, do not try to work together as equals with unbelievers, for it can't be done. Another says, don't be bound together with unbelievers. We're looking at Paul's words here. He's saying, what are you looking for in faith partners, in people who will help you achieve the purposes of God in your life? He says, what fellowship is there? What communion is there? What harmony is there? What agreement is there with people who do not share your faith and your vision? For a walk of faith, we must have somebody to walk with us in that faith. And so we're called to be very cautious. This is the opposite. The opposite of faith is a person who is not a believer. So it's not to say we don't associate with unbelievers. Absolutely not. We need to have friends all over that are unbelievers. We need to be an influence in the life of unbelievers. But what this does say is, do not form an association, temporary or permanent, that would compromise your standards or jeopardize your calling and purpose. Are you hearing me? Do not get into relationships that will jeopardize your calling and your purpose, that will detour you away from what God has. Paul goes on, he gives the why. He says there's no harmony between Christ's and here an idol, Baal. He says, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. The bottom line is this. A life of faith means I exclusively belong to God. I am exclusively committed to God. So, I believe that Abraham suffered some setbacks, some delays, and some struggles along the way because of the choice that he made. Not just with Lot, he also brought with him everything that he had obtained in Haran. The Bible says that he had many people, he had slaves, he had riches. He brought all of that forward with him, where God, I believe, wanted to bless him in that new place that he was taking with him. So often, we are tempted to just bring everything we've got with us from our old life into our new. And God is saying, I want you to leave that kind of stuff behind. I want you to push forward into my walk with you. Let me be the supply. Well, the good news is that God did work with Abraham, and every promise that God made to Abraham and everything that Abraham set out to do, God helped him to do. By faith, he obtained the full blessing that was promised, but it could have been much more direct and much without so much drama if he would have simply obeyed God. And some of you could give, if we had testimony night today and said, how many of you have gotten to the place where God wants you to be today, but there was a lot of struggle and drama along the way because of some choices that were made? A lot of people go, oh, I've been there. So have I. We all have. Where we have made choices or taken directions that have added burdens to the walk, added burdens to the place that God has for us. And God wants us to come into that place of joy and say, I have learned to trust him. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. Remember that song? Oh, for grace to trust you more. I want to just trust you more. So there are four responses, you can write these down today, that we can make to God when it comes to our walk with him and his purpose and will for our lives. And the first one is this, outright refusal. Just refusal. Now, good news is Abraham did not do that. He did not refuse God. But when we refuse God, when he speaks into our life and we just say no, we're kind of being like Jonah. Jonah, you know, is the perfect picture in the Bible. God says, go to Nineveh, which was go east. And Jonah sets out to go to, what was the name of the place? Tarshish. And Tarshish is not even close to where Nineveh was. It's across the ocean. Tarshish was, they feel, could be in modern-day Spain, which was a long ways away. And what's also interesting is that back then, the people of Israel would, if they said, I'm going to go to Tarshish, it was like, I'm going to the furthest place away I possibly can. How many have ever heard, that's as far away as Timbuktu? Did you know Timbuktu is an actual place? But we're not talking about going to Timbuktu. We're just talking about getting away as far as possible. Refusal from God is saying, you want me to go there? I'm going to Timbuktu. No way. And when we refuse God's purpose in our life, that requires repentance. It's a sin. And so if there is in your life refusal to God's purpose, it is something to be repented of, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from that, but we need to recognize it. I can't expect God's blessing on my life when I'm on the way to Tarshish and I should be going to Nineveh. And God provides for us an opportunity to repent, as Noah did, as Jonah did, a chance to repent and to come back into the purposes of God. The Bible says that it's sin to know what to do and to not do it. Another place it says, see that no one misses the grace of God. So, today if God is calling you, there's a purpose that he's presented to you, and you have just said no, then this is your opportunity today to say, no, I'm going to repent of that and say yes to God. The second thing that we can do as responding to God's purposes in our life is delay. And as we said, this is something that Abraham did do, delay. You know what delay is? Delayed obedience is really just temporary disobedience. Delayed obedience is temporary disobedience, or even worse, it's short-term rebellion. It's like, for the time being, God, I'm going to put you off on that. Can we put a pin in that, Lord? And you'll just come back to that, you know, or we'll circle back to that someday when it fits my plans more reasonably. Abraham did delay, and I believe it just put off what God really did want to do in his life. And we have lots of reasons. Abraham probably said, well, my dad needs me. I've got to build up my wealth. I've got a lot of things I want to accomplish in my life along the way. Delay never helps. It just hurts us. There's three reasons why we delay. You might, again, write these down. The status quo. We just feel best about the way it is. I've always done it this way. I'd like to keep doing it this way. We're committed to that status quo. Second thing, we might delay because we're just afraid of going forward. Out there somewhere, there's something that I'm not acquainted with. It's unknown to me. If I try this, I may fail. I could embarrass myself trying this or saying yes to God. I don't like change. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will show you which path to take. The third thing we do is sometimes we wait for a feeling or an emotion. We're just waiting for it to feel right to us. God has spoken, he's made it clear, but we're going, yes, but Lord, I'm waiting for a feeling. I need to have an emotion that says it's time to go. Now, the third thing that Abraham did was, or he, the third he did, but third we have that sometimes we go in partial, is partial obedience. We negotiate with God, or we only follow part of his commands. Lots of people are partially obedient to God. I've heard people like, you know, well, I can't tithe, but I give my efforts to the Lord. I can't give him money, you know, I can't give him what's his, but I will teach a class, or I'll be a greeter, or I'll help clean up around the church or something like that. You know, that's partial obedience. God really does want us to use our talents and our efforts and our time for him, but it doesn't erase the blessing that I could have had if I would have been fully obedient to him with my tithes and offerings. Or other areas of partial obedience. God is calling us to complete obedience. When we take the old life with us into our walk of faith, we're being like bringing Lot along with it. So it's a partial obedience. The fourth choice is complete obedience. Complete obedience. Abraham became completely obedient to God, and God came through with his promised blessing. Everything God said he would do for Abraham, he did for Abraham. Faith is to quickly respond to God and to what the Lord is calling us to. The psalmist said this, I have considered my conduct, and I promise to follow your instructions without delay. I hurry to obey your commands. That's a powerful statement. I have considered my conduct. I promise to follow through. Without delay, I'm going to follow your commands. God is calling us to be like the disciples. When he called to the men that were fishing, remember, and Peter and John, they were in their nets fishing, and Jesus came to them in Luke chapter 4, and he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The scriptures say, at once they left their nets and followed him. They didn't even say, we need to clean the catch, or we need to take him to market. They immediately followed Jesus. A few chapters later, Jesus calls Matthew, who is a tax collector. He's at his tax booth collecting taxes. And Jesus says to him, come and be my disciple. And Matthew, it says in the Living Bible, jumped up to follow Jesus. He jumped up. Yes, I'll do it, and I'll do it immediately. I want you to think about Abraham's outcome. The Bible says to consider the outcome of those who have gone before us and to imitate their lives. Look at his outcome. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham came to that place of believing God, obeying him. That word believe here is a Greek word, pistuo, which is to be persuaded of and to have reliance on. He didn't just give credence to what God said. He just didn't say, God, I think you're probably right. He actually acted upon it. Sometimes we give credence to it. We give a head assent. We say, yes, that's true. I believe God is all those things, and God is calling me, and God is working in my life, and God is doing this in our church, and God does want this for our community, and he does want this for our world. I agree with that and believe it. He says, okay, based on that, will you go? Based on that, will you obey? Belief here is to move with action. All of those impossible promises that God gave to Abraham were completed by God's hand. He and Sarah did have a baby in their old age. They did have offspring that inherited the homeland and the promises of God. His seed did produce a great nation that was too great to be numbered. And he did bless the world through his offspring because his seed, Jesus Christ, blessed the whole world. All of these things which seemed impossible for man's eyes came to pass when Abraham believed God, when he acted. In Hebrews it says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So let me ask you today, where are you in your walk of obedience to Jesus? All of us fall somewhere into this story. Where are you? Come on up, worship team. Where are you in your obedience to Jesus? Some today might say, I'm actually in a place of complete refusal when it comes to the things God wants from me. I'm just like, nope, no way. Some of you at home, some of you here, you might say, I just have said no to him. And I want to urge you today to repent of that and to give in to what God has for you so that the blessing of God may come upon you. Some of you may be delaying. You're saying, well, when things get better, when circumstances begin to line up better, when my finances are better, when my relationships are better, when my education is taken care of, when I get a promotion at work, when things are better in our family, when I get the house remodeled, I don't know what it is, but you're delaying what God has said to you. And you're just frustrating yourself because God is saying, I've got the blessing right here for you. If you'll just begin to act, I'll pour it out into your life. Some might be today saying, I'm a partial obedience person. I'm doing some of what God has called me to be and to do, but I'm not fully there yet. I want to encourage you to push over that line, to go for all that God has called you to be, because his blessing will be yours. When you refuse, delay, or you act in partial obedience, your life begins to be in frustration because God is actually working to get your attention, and he may be stopping you. He may be putting you into a holding pattern, saying, I'm waiting for you to come to that point of looking to me in complete obedience. You might say, my life is kind of fruitless. I don't have the responses I'm looking for. The things that I believe should be happening aren't happening. Fruitfulness awaits those who are fully obedient. God today is wanting you to say yes to Jesus in unbridled, full obedience. There's a story told in Luke chapter 5. The disciples are fishing. They had fished all night with absolutely no results. And when you're a commercial fisherman, and I used to pastor in a town of commercial fishermen in Newport, those men do not want to go out and take a fishing trip and come back with empty nets. Their livelihood, their lives depend on it. And these fishermen had fished all night. They knew exactly how to do it. They knew exactly where the fish should be. They did it the way they had always done it. But this time, for some reason, it came up empty. And Jesus came to them and he said to them, Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. What made the difference? Because Jesus had said so. It went against their understanding. They fished at night. That's when they caught fish. And now it's daytime. They knew how to catch fish. Jesus wasn't a fisherman. He's a carpenter. I mean, stay in your lane, Jesus. I know what I'm doing here. And Jesus said, I'll just let your nets down. You're at the wrong place. This is the wrong spot in the lake. It's the wrong time of day. And Peter even says, you know, we did it all night, but I love what he said, but because you say so. Now, and that never got very far with me as a parent when I'd say to my kids, why do we have to do this? And I just said, because I'm your dad and I said so. But I'm not the Lord. There are times when God just says into our lives something that makes no sense to my understanding. It makes no sense to my experience, to what I think I know what I'm doing. And he says, do it because I said so. And the blessing came in so great, they couldn't even contain it. What is God saying to you right now that you're saying, God, it doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. Leave what I'm doing to go into this ministry doesn't make any sense. Begin to give my tithes and offerings when I can't even pay my bills, it makes no sense. Take my time and effort to do a ministry that I don't have much experience with or don't think that I have the talents for, it doesn't make any sense. But today, if we can be like Peter that says, this may not make sense, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. Would you bow your heads for a moment? How many people here today would just say, Pastor Todd, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I sense conviction right now about an area of obedience to God that I'm either been delaying in, I've refused in, I have put him off, I haven't been complete in obedience, and I know it could be different. I know in my head it could be different, but I haven't yet begun to experience it by doing it. And today, just because Jesus says so, I'm going to take that leap of faith. I'm going to let down the nets. And I'm going to do what he has commanded just because Jesus said so. With your heads bowed today, it could be so many different areas, but you are about to take a new step of faith and go into a new challenge, into a new victory that you've never had before, to bring something into reality that has up till now just been an idea. If that's you today, as I'm going to pray with you right where you're at, I want you to raise your hand. Because right here in the chair where you are now, God is about to meet you. Lord, with hands raised up right now, there are people who are saying, Lord, I know you've called me to be obedient. I haven't been there. I know you've called me to not just give part of myself. I know you've called me not to delay this any longer. I know you've called me not to refuse you. And because you say so today, even though it seems impossible through my understanding or through my resources, I say yes to you. And I'm going to take the steps. I'm going to let down the net in my life. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to leave something so that I can go to be what you want me to be, so I can become what you have for me. I'm going to take those same steps that Abraham took. I'm going to leave my old past. I'm going to leave things behind. I'm going to become something new in God. Lord, bring miracles to pass in our lives as we do this. Lord, and let this be something that is not just an idea, but it is an action. It is faith. It is me concretely responding to you. I'm going to give now where I haven't given before. I'm going to serve now where I haven't served before. I'm going to step into a new area that I haven't before. I'm going to leave some things behind that I have held on to because I'm moving forward in faith. And I thank you for this. Because Jesus is faithful and he will always come through on what he has promised. Amen. Amen. Would you stand up with me today? The worship team's about to lead us in worship. But I would like us to do something. I'd like us, before they even begin to sing, to just lift our hands and say, I am so glad I serve a faithful God who does everything he has ever promised, who fulfills everything in the call of my life, that he has not left, he is not just leading me out into a wilderness someplace. He's taking me to a promised place, a promised land in him. Would you lift your hands and thank him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the one who has called us is faithful. Thank you that Jesus knows where the fish are, that Jesus knows what the answer is going to be, that Jesus has a plan for my life, and he is faithful and just. He's going to work it out. He's going to take me through. He's not going to drop me. He's not going to embarrass me. He's not going to leave me. He's going to be with me, and we're going to see victories. We're going to see new things happen, new blessings come forward in so many ways because of obedience to you. Lord, we walk in the steps of Abraham, a great man of faith, and we're learning faith as we walk with you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we praise him together today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's remain standing and worship together.